Well, let's turn, shall we, to Revelation and chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I'm going to read the first 8 verses. Revelation chapter 21, starting to read at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." I don't know about you, but I like to put things in the diary to look forward to. In fact, my wife here sometimes makes us as a family put things in the diary to look forward to. It might be an afternoon out doing something, or a day out somewhere, or perhaps a holiday, or maybe a trip to see some friends or family. Recently, my wife and my daughter organised a trip to Leeds Castle so that we could go segwaying, and that was a lot of fun. Tomorrow, we're going up to Suffolk to see my sister and her family, and I think my mum and dad are going to be there as well. So psychologically, it can be good to do that. You know, life can sometimes be difficult, can't it? We can find ourselves discouraged. We can feel that it's a bit of a grind. But putting something in the diary to look forward to psychologically can be so helpful for us. And that's something that I would encourage people to do. Well, these verses that we're looking at this evening remind us that we as believers have something to really look forward to. It's so evident, isn't it, in what we read in these first 8 verses of Revelation chapter 21. There are two things that John tells us we can look forward to. Firstly, a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. Now, when the word heaven is spoken about, I believe that reference is being made to the skies, not to the spiritual realm or to the place where God dwells, surrounded by angels. I believe that it refers to the skies. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah, you know, many years ago, 600 years or so before the birth of Christ, look forward to this. Turn with me for a moment back to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And if you've got a New International Version, you'll see that the title is New Heavens and a New Earth. We can't read it all. Let's just read a few verses. Verse 17. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more." And we see, don't we, from looking at these verses, that something of this is picked up again here in Revelation 21. "Then I saw," says John. What a wonderful vision. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." I'm reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 13 and verse 3, where it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." But what does it mean exactly when it says here that heaven and earth will pass away? Does it mean that this earth that we're currently living on is one day going to be completely annihilated or destroyed? There are Bible verses that speak of the earth's destruction. For example, we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare." Does it mean that it's going to be completely destroyed? Or does it mean that this earth that our feet are now on is going to be wonderfully, gloriously, and radically renewed? You see, there are Bible verses that speak of this current earth being renewed. For example, Romans chapter 8 and verse 21, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." In Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks of how believers are one day going to be fully or completely redeemed. And he seems to speak about this current earth being wonderfully and gloriously redeemed as well. In other words, the curse being removed from it. How do we understand this then? Well, the way I understand it is that there will be a dramatic refining of the earth with fire, as Peter tells us, and a glorious, radical renewal of this earth. So everything that has been affected by the fall will be done away with. Yet God is not going to abandon this earth that he created, however many years ago it was altogether. It's going to be gloriously renewed. Look at the end of verse 1. There we read, "And there was no longer any sea." Now, it might be that some of us feel a little bit disappointed when we read these words. Laurie does. I was talking to Joanne about this before I came out this evening, and she was rather disappointed as well, because we love the sea. We love going down to the seaside, perhaps for a day, or maybe for a holiday. There are lots of people that like to be able to retire to the coast so that they can spend their days looking out to the sea. But I think it's important to be mindful of the fact that much of what we read in the book of Revelation is symbolic. The fact that there will be no more sea simply underscores, I would argue, the fact that there will be no more evil or rebellion in the new heavens and the new earth. You see, in the Bible, the sea often represents or symbolizes evil. The monsters come out of the sea. We've seen a little bit of this, haven't we, in the book of Job on a Sunday morning. The beast in the book of Revelation comes out of the sea. So I'm looking forward to a literal sea that I can swim in the new heavens and the new earth. I don't think that there will be no sea in that sense in eternity. Look at verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, that is, the eyes of his children, God's children. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Everything you see will be made gloriously new. So the first thing to look forward to as believers is a new heaven and a new earth. But the second thing is a new Jerusalem. A new Jerusalem. What exactly, though, is this city? More details of it are given in verses 9, 10, and 11 of this chapter. But what is this city? Well, I would argue that it equals the Bride of Christ. Let me put it this way. The New Jerusalem and the Bride of Christ are the same thing. Look at verse 2. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Look how the new city is prepared. It's prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Then look down at verses 9 and 10. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. And what was he shown? And he showed me a holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I think it might be difficult for us to picture the church as a bride and as a city. But when we read the New Testament, we find that the church is given all sorts of pictures, don't we? A flock, a temple, a body. The fact that the church is the bride of Christ means that one day the church will be presented to Christ as pure and holy and beautiful. And the fact that the church is spoken of as the New Jerusalem or the Holy City speaks of how she will one day live securely in fellowship with God and His Son Jesus forever and ever. Look at verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. We're looking forward to the new Jerusalem, to perfection, to fellowship with God for all eternity. And we might think to ourselves, well, this sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Look at verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Trustworthy and true. Are there any doubts in our minds about all that God promises in these words or in these verses? There shouldn't be, should there? For God's words are trustworthy and true. Look at the beginning of verse 6. He said to me, "It is done. It is done." Now we say to ourselves, "Oh, but it's not done yet." You know, we're still waiting for God to bring all of this about. But you see, in the mind of God, it is done. It's as good as done. It's a certainty. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." As I said at the beginning, we find it helpful as a family to put things in the diary, things to look forward to. Well, as Christians, we have already got something wonderful, haven't we, put in the diary. But it's not only in our diary. More importantly, it's in God's diary. And He will make sure all that is in His diary will one day come to pass. Well, let's give thanks as we pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we can put things in the diary to look forward to on this earth. Holidays, visits to various places. And we can look forward to those things. But we thank You that there is something truly wonderful for us to look forward to as Your people, a new heaven and a new earth, and a glorious city, a new city. Lord, we thank You for all that You promise us in Your word. And we thank You that what You have promised shall indeed one day come to pass. We were talking this morning from the very beginning of Your word, how that You created all things. And when You looked at what You had created, You said that it was good. And yet, sin entered into the world through one man's disobedience. And everything seemed to go pear-shaped. The world was cursed. Man became full of sin and seemed to go from bad to worse. And Lord, we live in this sinful world today. And though we enjoy many good things, we know that ill health and drought and earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanoes and all kinds of things are very much part and parcel of our lives here. But we thank You that Jesus came into our world and died upon a cross and rose again in order that we might be forgiven and one day be given resurrected bodies to dwell on a new earth one day with You forever and ever. And it does sometimes seem too good to be true. Yet this is what You tell us in Your word. And we look in Your word and we see that so many promises have already been fulfilled, and we can be confident that You will fulfill the rest of Your promises. And we can't even begin to imagine what it will be like to live in a world that is absolutely perfect, with no tiredness, with no ill health, with no tears, no struggles, no frustrations. Oh, how we look forward to that. Help us not to lose sight of that in the midst of all our difficulties here on earth. Thank You for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.